Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you making this podcast part of your day. Make sure you subscribe if you want more and leave us some feedback. Away we go.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth. B-F-F-T. From the PacWest Center in downtown Portland, presented by High Caliber Millwrights, here's John Canzano with a bald-faced truth.
Damian Martinez, the running back. DJ Uiagalelei at quarterback. And the Clemson transfer.
Damian Martinez, fantastic last season. I don't know about you, but I kind of assigned a little bit of hope for the system. Not just for Oregon State, when I heard Damian Martinez was coming back for another year. Angie Machado, Beaver Blitz, does a fantastic job. They had the story. Damian Martinez apparently telling his coaches he's getting in the transfer portal. We'll find out more about that from Angie. What does it mean? What does Oregon State do? I have a lot of questions for Angie, and she's joining us now. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. I was disappointed. I get disappointed every time I see a player go into a portal. A little part of me dies, Angie, and there I don't know how much I have left. So
especially when they tell you 2 months ago, or 2 weeks ago, or 3 weeks ago, that they're so loyal and they just love Oregon State. Yeah, I mean, it a little piece of you dies, isn't it?
Give me an idea of what you think changed for Damian Martinez.
You know, I started hearing rumblings about this on Saturday night, that this could be potentially happening, and then it kind of squelled. I mean, I heard yesterday, no, it was good, and then this morning, my phone blew up. So, Pete Thamel reports that he was being offered $400,000 to stay at Oregon State via NIL, which is, you know, it's not chump change there. So, you know, I don't know if it's a money issue. I don't know until Damian speaks. It's, you know, but at the end of the day, this whole transfer portal, you look at Bear Alexander at USC, that's a seventh transfer for this kid. So the portal's a disaster, I think, for college football, the NIL to some extent. I think it has more to do with exposure and probably getting closer to home, you know, down in the South.
The Oregon State coaching staff, where do they pivot? What's the depth at that position like, or do they go out and try to find someone in the portal?
No, I mean, honestly, if you're going to lose a player, running back was the deepest, you know, group in the room. So honestly, I've seen some great things from Anthony Hankerson, the new running back from Colorado. I actually had him kind of penciled in as right now, you know, 2 weeks into spring camp as the number two running back behind Damian. Jam Griffin's back after being at Oregon State, you know, it was Georgia Tech, Oregon State, Ole Miss, and now back at Oregon State. He gives Oregon State some of that, you know, pass catching. You know, that's one thing I think Damian, you know, this in this new offense, I think they're expecting the running backs to be able to catch the ball out of the backfield. And I mean, I saw them working on it, you know, a couple practices where the quarterbacks and running backs go into Truax and that was what they're working on. If Damian had a Achilles heel that we've seen over the past few years, it was, you know, catching the ball out of the backfield. So, you know, I don't know if he just wasn't thrilled with the new offense, you know, what it entails, but at the end of the day, wherever he goes, he's going to have to learn new terminology, new offense, new wrinkles. So it's going to be interesting.
I have him penciled in at Michigan State. Am I wrong to do that?
Yeah, I don't see that. I don't know. I think he would have gone if that was going to be the destination. So, but who knows? It's funny because, you know, people, then even my own husband was like, well, where's he going to go? I'm like, you know, honestly, I cover Oregon State. He's gone. I mean, he's not in the portal yet. Portal doesn't open until Tuesday of next week. So, I mean, I guess some things could happen. He could change his mind or, but I don't think you scrub your social media and take off all, you know, links of Oregon State football and add your agent, you know, to your bio link if you're not serious.
He just posted on Instagram, Onward and Upward, and he posted, you know, Damian Martinez gets into the portal. So it sounds like he's announcing it himself as well now. How was the reaction from fans? Because I think people come to expect it, but I also think it's disappointing when, like you said, you hear from a guy that, hey, I'm all in, I'm all in. Grass isn't greener. We heard that in women's basketball, and then, you know, you know the grass is greener, apparently. But how did the fans react to Damian?
There's a lot of, you know, just upset fans. I think that, but I think Beaver fans especially have just been, it's kind of gut punch after gut punch. So there's, you know, not only the whole Pac-2, Pac-12 dissolution, and, you know, Coach Smith leaving, and then, you know, some of the players that left and followed or went to, you know, elsewhere. To then you kind of feel like, okay, there's some good stuff going on. Baseball is a top five team, women's basketball, Elite Eight. There's some like positive stuff. And then you have women's basketball people, you know, after you think women's basketball could be on the come up next year, then you have got, you know, some of those women leaving and then Damian. So it just kind of feels like there's a lot of gut punches, but you know, I mean, that's kind of where we're at. I don't think any school or program is really immune to that right now. You could take a snapshot across the country, and I think fans everywhere would maybe say they're losing people that they didn't expect, or, you know, maybe not quite as bad as Oregon State's having it right now, but it's an issue everywhere. Kind of this musical chairs issue that the portal has given.
Early grades for Trent Bray. What are you seeing in spring ball, and how are you feeling about it?
I love the energy. You know, you watch him coach and you watch the staff. I think he assembled a good staff. I'm excited to see them on the recruiting trail because I think this staff is made up of a lot of really good recruiters. And so to see what they can do, you know, without trying, I mean, they basically were assembled together and tried to cobble together something in a month or two, even a couple weeks before that December signing period. So give them a year. I like that. Quarterback to me is still a kind of a mystery. And that's where I'd like to see more growth. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to watch, especially Coach Gunderson in his first offensive coordinator position and Coach Bray as a first-time head coach. Those two, I think defense is going to be fine, but offensively I'm anxious to see that because I haven't honestly seen what I want to see from Javonnie McCoy. As far as the Idaho transfer, Jabari Johnson has been sidelined he's been wearing a boot. He's been coming since April, since spring break, he has been participating. So whether he gets up to speed, I just haven't seen strong play from quarterbacks yet. So that is going to be kind of what I'm watching this last half of spring ball.
Beaver Blitz, Angie Machado with us. Normally when there's a regime change, there is a wide berth that is given to a coaching staff. But I don't know that Oregon State can afford that in the position they're in, playing the schedule they're playing this next season. What in your mind is a successful year one for Trent Bray?
They have to, I mean, honestly, they have to win 9 or 10 games, if not more. It's not going to be an easy schedule, but I do think you talk to the coaches and they feel that there is a path, you know, to win, you know, 11, 12 games. I think a 9 to 10 win season, it's gotta be what they're shooting for. Now, is that possible with all the change, you know, all you know, that was, you start looking at that back when you had Easton Mascarenhas and Achille Arnold and, you know, Aiden Childs hadn't left yet. You had Damian Martinez. So, like I said, running back to me though, it's kind of plug and play. There's a couple of freshmen that will be coming in August, and we've seen true freshmen do really good things at Oregon State and elsewhere. So, that's not maybe my biggest concern, but I do think Oregon State needs to win, you know, 9, 10 games to stay in that relevant picture. And that's what we've heard, you know, the administrators say they you know, they want them to see, you have to be relevant. You have to stay relevant for this 2-year period. Well, it's the Pac-2. I think that's kind of the basement. And I know people will laugh and roll their eyes at Oregon State, but I think that's where they have to be is winning a good chunk of games.
The media day is going to be interesting. And the Mountain West is holding their media day in Las Vegas. I am told Oregon State and Washington State want to do their own thing. They're talking about it now. Here's my idea, Angie. You tell me if this is good. This conference started in downtown Portland 108 years ago. Hold the damn media day in downtown Portland. People, the media from Seattle and Pullman will come. The media from all over the state of Oregon will come, sort of celebrate the rebirth of the conference. I pitched that to Teresa Gold today. I think she politely gave me, hey, that's a great idea. I don't know if they'll take it, but what do you think they should do for Media Day?
I actually like it, John. I mean, heck, that's super easy for us, too. But I would not like to see. I mean, I don't want to see them try to partner up with Mountain West. I mean, they have to keep that distance, whatever they do. I mean, there's too many people in the national side of things that already are kind of saying, "Oh, Oregon State, you know, they're basically playing a Mountain West schedule." Keep your distance. I like the Portland idea because, like you said, that's where the old pack was formed. So I like it. I'll go on social media and pitch that too. I'll say John Canzano said.
Yeah. And I think it would be like they could even go to the original hotel where the meeting, you know, it's changed names since and been renovated.
Which one was it? Was it the Benson or the Governor?
It was, I'll have it in just a second. And because I ended up going down there and writing about it, and the original formation of that was, let me look at this thing. It was the PCC, and it was 108 years ago. Let me just see where this meeting was held.
And you could build that up. I mean, the history and a new dawn, but the history remains. I like it.
It was the Imperial Hotel, which is now the Hotel Lucia.
It's downtown.
So, yeah. And
across
so
from where the old Oregon State Foundation office was.
There you go. And so I told Teresa, I said, "Hey, hold your media day there." She said, "Love this idea. We have a group talking about it. I'll pass it along," which means just shut up, John. Like we
exactly,
we know what we're doing.
Exactly. Stay in your lane. Stay in your lane.
But here's the thing. You're right. You can't hold it in Vegas because then you're just affirming everybody who says you're Mountain West Conference member. And I don't think if you hold it in L.A. or something, I don't think everybody's going to go just for two teams. So
They're Northwest teams. Like nobody goes to L.A. I mean, the L.A. market's not going to care that Washington State and Oregon State's down there.
So you got to go Portland, I think. And you get the Pullman, the Spokane, the Seattle media. You get all the media in Oregon. It's a big, like, hey, let's celebrate 108 years here and keep it separate. So I like that. All right, here's the other thing. Feels like the TV partner for these two entities is going to be the CW. There's nothing official yet, but that's the direction they're moving, it looks like. Wide distribution, probably not a lot of money, but it'll be on linear TV and available everywhere. Is that a good move for Oregon State and Washington State if that's the way it shakes out?
I think it's huge. I love it, honestly. I mean, to me, it makes more sense than, you know, the bottom of the Big 12 is on, like, ESPN Plus and, you know, some of the streaming. So get it on linear TV. I love it. I mean, I've watched live golf tournaments on CW.
Yes.
I mean, it's not the most glamorous, not the most money, but right now Oregon State and Washington State need eyeballs. And so to get eyeballs across the country watching some good football, I like it.
And you're right about that. And also the CW does not have a production arm. And so Pac-12 Networks gets to produce the games as they always did. And I think there's some interest there in maybe partnering with the CW on some other sporting events that they could pick up side hustle work on. What else does Oregon State need to do? Let's talk about the marketing and branding. And this is not in their DNA. You know that. To go out and crow from the mountaintops their story and tell it to the nation, what change of thinking needs to happen at Oregon State?
Well, they need to market. I mean, they need to actually, I just don't feel like Oregon State has ever been good at branding. They try to tell their story, but it's always kind of the, you know, we do things the right way. And I mean, we've heard Scott Barnes kind of say his shtick about, you know, the Beaver way and all that. No, we got to, you know, they have to talk about not only is it a great university, but the history of athletics. I'd like to see them invest. And I know they have no money really to invest, right? But, you know, it goes back to really putting that investment in football. And that at the end of the day is going to pay all the bills. So they need to make sure that football is being marketed. It is being sold the story and play up the Coach Bray, Coach Gunderson, Coach Hayward, Coach Devan, you know, Coach Canham, Coach Ruick, play that up. They're alums. But, you know, that soundbite from Coach Ruick at the Elite Eight at the post game where he talked about, you know, being a Beave and his mom was a Beave. And who knows what happens with Coach Ruick down the road and, you know, what's going on there. But that soundbite right there, it speaks volumes to what Oregon State is. And it's a lot more than, you know, just an engineering school or an ag school or, you know, the school down the road from Oregon, because, you know, Oregon hasn't been, if you go back even what, 30 years, Oregon football was nothing to be too excited about. So I just think they have to kind of build upon that family and go from there.
Angie Machado, Beaver Blitz, with us. Angie, Wayne Tinkle, $8.7 million left on his contract, probably saved him this year. What does he need to do? Is there anything he can do? He will be playing a WCC schedule, so seemingly the competition will be a little softer for him, but that program has no trajectory right now.
None. I mean, that's. I mean, in my opinion, Scott Barnes really messed that up by signing him to that deal. Yes, they came off the Elite Eight, but it was after COVID. That's a rough one because you don't have the money to buy him out. And now we're to the point, John, where he has 3 years left on that deal, but he has eight open scholarships. And I love Wayne Tinkle. I think he's a great person. But what does that sell look like? After you've just told your AD, I'm going to go out and get, you know, Jordan Pope and Bilodeau, and we're going to build this team around these young guys. And now they all leave. So now what's your pitch on the recruiting trail? You know you're a lame duck coach. You have to win some games, but who are you going to do it with? To me, it's a complete dumpster fire, but that's why we're going to focus on football and baseball right now.
Right. Do you think football, the fan enthusiasm come August, come September, Racer Stadium, even though it will be a different opponent in the stadium most weeks, except the Oregon game, maybe Purdue will be some buzz there, but do you think the fans will show up, will get excited about this team this season and put all that other stuff behind them?
I do. I think in the short term right now, there's some fans that are kind of checking out just with all the change and with all the transfer portal. But like I said, that's everywhere. College football is changing. Who knows what it's going to look like in a year or even 2 or 3 years from now. But I do. I think there's still that excitement. You know, the students are going to show up. There's some great games. I mean, Corvallis in September, in early October is magnificent, usually with good weather. And so you're going to get the student section. They'll be rowdy. And I do think, you know, Beaver Nation, like I said, I talk about selling that family atmosphere, but they're also very loyal. So I think they'll give it a shot. Now, if things don't go as hoped this year, I think it could get to be a tougher sell. But I think it might not be sellout after sellout, but there's some compelling games there. Like I said, Oregon, there's, you know, Washington State later in the season. And, you know, you have a couple road games that are pretty, pretty compelling too, with Boise State, you know, Air Force. There's some good ones there.
Yeah. Look, Oregon State, Washington State have had some wins in the courtroom. They've had some wins financially. The NCAA tournament revenue is going to be great for them. The settlement money is great. But I think come football season, they're going to need, like you said, I mean, I just don't think there's much of a margin there for Trent Bray. He's got to win.
No.
Because, you know, part of that is, I mean, I don't think people say you have to win the Oregon game, but you got to win 9 or 10 and
yeah.
Prove that you at least belong at the top of the Mountain West Conference and are making a case, even in a year where you're replacing a coach, that you still belong in the Power Four.
Exactly. I mean, I think there has not been a more crucial year, you know, for Oregon State and Washington State. But, you know, as covering Oregon State, that's, you know, where my focus is. There has to be, I mean, that, like you said, margin of error is so slim, because if let's say they just win 7 or 8, how quickly, you know, they'll be forgotten on the national stage. And so you need to keep the pressure on the big time TV. I mean, that's who's running the show right now. So keep some pressure there, because other sports are winning. I would make an argument Oregon State belongs in a major division, major conference, based on when the whole body of work of the athletic department. But right now it's football. So Oregon State has had a couple really good, pretty solid seasons in football. But you play a Mountain West Conference schedule and win 7 or 8 games, it's not going to get it done.
Angie Machado, Beaver Blitz, thank you. I will catch up to you. I appreciate you.
Absolutely. Thank you, John.
Anytime. There she is. She's great on Oregon State. There's the news. You have the confirmation. Damian Martinez is in the portal. I want your reaction to that. 503-417-7575. Also, what does Oregon State and Washington State need to do? Is it all about on-the-field results, or can there be a marketing push What do athletes care about? We'll kick it around. Anna will pop in the studio. Later in the show, we've got some Punch It audio coming up. The 5 at 5. I want you here.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.